Okay, and I think we're coming here at the right time. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name, and we're here today on this Saturday, 26th day of September, 2020. If you want it officially here, we're in lockdown day 187. Right, 187 days, and they've now announced another 6 months, effectively. So there's eruptions going on about this destruction of an economy that's going on. And these two big pharma pimps, the chief scientific officers, Chris Whitty and the other schmuck, Patrick Vallance, just came out during the week. It just came out that they have £600,000 worth of shares in GlaxoSmithKline's vaccine division. Isn't that interesting? Talk about a catastrophic conflict of interest. And Boris Johnson seems to think that's quite okay. Because Johnson, on this you have to understand, somebody gave me some very valuable information there last week, a friend of mine up in Derbyshire. He is related to the Johnson Pharmaceutical Company. Ho, ho, ho. And he's also claiming he's broke now after his divorce. And considering he was getting £5,000 for every once-a-week article in the Daily Telegraph for 5 years. £5,000 a week for writing about 1,000 words. Right? And this schmuck is claiming he's short of money. But he's in poverty. Oh, dear, dear, dear. With his new, well, she's soon to be his wife, Carrie Simmons, etc. But all these are good friends, and I keep nominating them because they're not in competition with RBN in any way, shape, or form. It wouldn't matter if they were. But they are highlighting all the key points that are worth noting. We now have these mask marshals, right, going around hassling people. And these PHO, public health officers, who have the power to take you out of your house, put you in confinement, backed up by the police. And, of course, they're chasing their tail with this ridiculous, citing the infection rate, which is irrelevant. There's about 300,000, there's probably 3 million infection rates in the UK. One actuary I know for years that says it's surely 3 million. So what? It's the outbreak of the disease. And what, etc. Well, they're still not giving preventative medicine advice. None. Zero. So who's running this? Big Pharma is running it. That's what's going on. And the wipeout, Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, this week announced a new set of evolution of measures, financial measures, where they'll be paying employers. They can reduce down their employees without making them redundant to half, one-third of their hours, and the government will pay most of the balance of the wage. So, and a lot of introduce a lot of information, a lot of new financial schemes for businesses to keep them going. But they're willfully destroying business and the retail trade, which was under attack anyway. And the retail trade, the high streets of Britain and America and Canada were collapsing anyway for the last 5 years drastically. And now we have coronavirus, which has absolutely hammered them. But, of course, the internet, the well-established internet companies, not to mention Amazon and the rest of them, are making hay. And this is something I can't understand, because I worked in the motor trade, I worked in the food, drink, tobacco industry, I worked in civil engineering over many, many years. And I don't know whether I'm able to get the vans in Italy. Because Tesco alone put on an extra 4,000 home delivery vans. 4,000! And the courier companies are recruiting drivers, etc. I don't know where they're getting the vehicles at short notice. I just don't know. So this, I think, this was planned. And I've got enough memory to remember that there 18 months ago, 2 years ago, Ford announced that they would be no longer making cars, only one model in America, possibly in Europe as well, but they'd be making commercial vehicles and vans, yes. So that was a signal. That was a signal. They were told at that point that this was going to happen. So et cetera, et cetera. And this green agenda crap and the UBI, which they're now bringing in, because people are getting this furlough money, universal basic income, which is walking people into basic total tyranny, et cetera, in so, so many ways, which will lead into the digital economy, and which will lead into AI. We'll all be under the under the noose of AI, et cetera, et cetera. But one person who puts it very well is Farage. And Ken, you have a piece there, I'll name it for you. It's a 7-minute piece where Nigel Farage gives out hell about this second phase of the lockdown. It's 7 minutes, 7:17. It's the seventh one I sent you on the list, number 7. Nigel Farage is on the... Right. Well, the Nigel Farage. Only one today. Nigel Farage. That's what it says. Well, there specifically is here. I'm arguing with the board. I'll just go down to my list and I'll call it to you. Sorry, I have to go into Proton Mail to pick it up. 1 second. That'll take a while. It's built into the header. I'll go in and get it. Here we are, coming up now in a second. On the set mail to the board up. The one I sent you today, which is number 7, is Nigel Farage, No Second on Second Lockdown. That's the title. You have found it. So you did have it, yeah. Okay, can we go to that now, yeah?
It would be really downer to have people down on top of you, to be outlawed, to be hated. And it's when you go through these things.
Sorry. Hello. When you're that's not it. That is not it. Christ almighty. That's not it. That's John B. Keane. We can scrap that one altogether. I'm not going to play that one today. Nigel Farage, No Second Lockdown. Okay.
It's Sunday, the 20th of September, and I've just had the deep misfortune of seeing Matt Hancock on the television. It's enough to make you want to scream. After 6 months of bungling, 6 months of promises, 6 months of being told we're going to have a world-class testing regime, what do we see but abject failure? Yet at no point at all in this, does Hancock ever admit any fault whatsoever? No, the truth is, the reason so many parts of England are now back in lockdown, and perhaps, who's to say, the rest of the country within 48 hours, it's all your fault. That's right, it's your fault. Not only have you behaved irresponsibly, but despite being encouraged to go and get tests, it's now your fault because too many of you have gone to get tests, and the whole thing collapsed last week. And now we learn from the Sunday papers that if you get a positive test and you leave your house, you'll be fined £1,000. Do it again and you'll be fined £10,000. Now, look, I don't want irresponsible behaviour, but £10,000, it seems pretty draconian. But here's the worst bit. Supposing somebody who's tested positive says they've spent some time with you, and you then get a phone call from our track and trace system. Now, of course, I know that's unlikely because hardly anybody ever gets rung by them because it doesn't work. But whether the information that's been given is accurate or not, you too, even though you have not got the virus or may not have the virus, you too, if you leave your house more than once, are subject to a £10,000 fine. And it's the same if you organise a big demonstration. Again, you could be fined £10,000. Oh, but if you want to go and desecrate the cenotaph or vandalise Churchill's statue or topple statues and chuck them in the dock in Bristol or even wear paramilitary uniforms and march through the streets of Brixton, well, that's fine because you can pretty much guarantee that nothing will happen to you. This is all bad law, bad policing and utterly and entirely disproportionate. And it's the way these measures are brought in. You know, it's Prefect Hancock and a small group in Number 10 that have decided this figure of £10,000. They have done it without any parliamentary debate or scrutiny whatsoever. We are supposed to be living in a democracy. Actually, it's becoming increasingly like an elective dictatorship. In fact, the level of government control is so bad. Well, of course, the Labour Party support it. Angela Rayner this morning. Yes, Labour's fully behind these measures. I mean, you'd think the way the government's behaving, you'd think Jeremy Corbyn had actually won the last election. So we've opened up the country. We've sent people back to school. And now Baroness Dido Harding is surprised that the number of infections of people, the number needing to be tested, the number of people who've got sniffles. She's surprised the number is rising. Well, tell you what, it happens every single September when the kids go back to school. I would have thought it was absolutely obvious that this would happen, and yet they simply don't seem to understand. If you are elderly, if you have serious underlying medical conditions, if you are grossly overweight, it almost certainly makes sense with rising infections for you to isolate. But it does not make sense for the whole of the country to isolate. And I think we're at a point now where the cure is becoming worse than the disease itself. Just think of all those tens of thousands of cancer diagnoses that haven't happened. The number of people with chronic heart conditions who simply haven't been treated. And goodness knows what the effect on millions of people is in terms of their mental health, their well-being, domestic violence, suicide. It really is a list as long as your arm. And now, of course, as we go back into effectively a second lockdown, the spectre of mass unemployment becomes all too real. I know people who've had this and have suffered from it. But equally, I know lots of people who've had it and have barely even known. It's barely registered until they've had the antibody test. And the absolute truth is, we have got to learn to live with this disease. Like everybody, I'd rather it hadn't escaped from China, but it did. We've got to learn to live with it. Another second national lockdown. It'll be England to start, but the others will follow. Another second national lockdown will be a complete and utter catastrophe. Now, Boris, we're told, is going to speak to the nation on Tuesday. We expect him to announce a circuit break. That is just number 10 spin for a second lockdown. So I think the time has come for us to say loudly and clearly no to a second lockdown. Question is, what can you do about it? Well, this government operates far more on followership than it does on leadership. It responds to public opinions. It responds to polls saying that what they do is unpopular. In fact, we've seen more U-turns from this government than I've ever seen in my life. And I think a lot of MPs out there, particularly Tory MPs, are beginning to get a bit twitchy. They can see that support for their government and confidence in the Prime Minister is slipping away very, very quickly. So don't think this is a waste of time. It's not. Lobby your MP and ask two things of them. Firstly, to stand up loudly this week in Westminster and to say we must not have a second national lockdown. And secondly, to insist that rule by ministerial decree comes to an end and we get back to being a functioning democracy. None of these draconian measures, none of these measures, which, by the way, I don't think are going to work anyway, but none of these things should be done without full open debate in Parliament and in the country. Just to find in the Sunday newspapers, you might be fined £10,000 just for leaving your front door is completely and utterly unacceptable. So please, don't just moan about it. Don't just grouse about it. Get on to your MP. Make them feel the pressure of public opinion. Thank you.
Okay. My mic was off. Very well put. People are just getting absolutely peed off. And the latest restrictions now are pubs close at 10 o'clock. Must wear masks in all public buildings, a car to go into supermarkets, etc. And what's going to happen? There's demonstrations in Ireland and Britain and another one today in London. Anna Breeze, a very good ex-BBC reporter with Breeze Media, she's been covering that. But the police trying to make out that the freedom march, as they call it, free speech and anti-mask wearing. And obviously, Piers Corbyn spoke at that rally, but it's psychological submission. That's what it is, because everybody knows. I'm saying again for the 100th time, to mask wearing is like putting a chain link fence around your garden to keep out mosquitoes. It is useless, and not only in part. That's part one. Part two, it's destructive to the bacteria in your mouth, in your gut, in your stomach, and you will have bronchial problems. Only history that at all. it'll exacerbate those problems. And it is an absolute outrage. And this disgusting creature, have the evidence against him here. Chief Scientific Officer Sir Patrick Vallance has £600,000 of shares in the vaccine maker GlaxoSmithKline. He was president of the multinational drug company GSK from 2012 to 2018, right? And he says he's already cashed in more than $5 million. And this is the schmuck. Talk about a disgusting conflict of interest. Like, does Boris Johnson have any clue as to what's going on here? This is, whole thing is being run by the big pharma and Bill Gates, and we're just being treated like cattle. There's no other word for it. We're just one big experiment to destroy business, to destroy jobs, to break people's spirit, really. And a lot of people are getting mentally ill from being tied, or even people who are opted to work at home, they're finding it very dispiriting and emotionally very crushing because of lack of contact with people. And as Alan Sugar the other day saying, now that the banks have got most of their people working from home and everybody are ringing about anything, the internet or this, that, and the other, such and such a person is there working from home. So these companies are now saying, well, why the hell are we having 50,000 square feet of office space for this, that, and the other? So the economic collapse is running ahead at a pace. And as I go on every week, the attack on children's childhood by sending them to school with social distancing and dozens of rules, not in all schools, but in some schools, in the majority of schools, is a shocking attack on young children. It's just permanent damage they will do to them. But and the papers, the Telegraph and the Mail, have covered this big time. And we're 6 months into this coronavirus thing, 9 months in total, and since the outbreak. They only took action on the 23rd of March. They're trying to talk it out of existence before that, at least most Boris Johnson was. And it took them 6 months for the Telegraph and the Mail to have the courage to take on this guy Vallance and speak up about this appalling carry-on, where he's carrying out the policy of Agenda 21 and the Big Pharma. Sir Patrick, who also chairs the government expert panel on vaccines, predicted at a news conference this week that the first doses of the vaccine may become available on a limited basis by the end of the year. An experimental vaccine of which the company selling it have immunity from prosecution. Put your arm out for that. Huh? Is that okay with you? I mean, this is an outrage. An outrage. GSK is one of more than 20 drug companies around the world in the race to provide the cure for coronavirus, an achievement which would be colossally lucrative. Sir Patrick, former employee, has deals with the British and US governments to supply them with COVID-19 vaccines, subject to terms of the final contract. Okay, we'll go to this break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? a voice of truth in a sea of lies, do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, very good. We're coming back in. We're back above. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting, and we're discussing the extended lockdown in the UK, and then we're surrounded by treacherous scum everywhere, and this chief scientific officer, I mean, well, imagine this, who used to be the chairman of GlaxoSmithKline. How revolting is that? Sir Patrick Vallance. And he has £600,000 of his own money, which he got for nothing. That was share option money he got for holding the job, as well as a massive salary. And he is running this carry-on. Is there any wonder we're in trouble? And it's revolting. And it took the media 6 months to get to this point, although we're shamed into covering this story, et cetera, about who these people are. And the SAGE Committee, they're a bunch of so-called experts who are all polluted with ex-pharma money. Either the organizations they run for, work for, have taken massive pharma money over the years. Like all medical research, like 90% is funded by big pharma. Therefore, they own the scientific community. I'm sick saying that. At every level, they own them. But this two schmucks, Patrick Vallance and Chris Whitty, outlined that this week in a press conference, they outlined why the government was announcing a raft of new lockdown measures. Well, they're chasing their tail. I mean, I'm sick saying this. The infection rate is just academic. It really is academic. You can't wreck the economy to slow it. You can slow it down, but you can't stop it. And the herd immunity factor will take place. And over every other country in the world, you have the factor that the 94 to 96% chance of not getting it. And those who died of it were an average age of a thing from Alex Belfield, I'll play later on, proven worldwide, were over the age of 80. I'm not saying they don't matter, but in the broad stream of the working economy, they're not in the working economy. So why shut down the working economy? I mean, it's just insane. And the number of people who won't speak out, it's just that we have the total catastrophic failure of journalism over the years. And this left-wing ignorant bias who will not, if anything, they live their paranoid lives of, oh, we can't report on anything that's right-wing, like news, as if news was right or left-wing. But we're living in this deranged world, this LGBT stuff, etc. And I have this hung up in my office here. America's governor, Kristi Noem, in South Dakota, where there was no lockdowns, no contact tracing, no forced vaccinations, no government re-education, no socialist distancing, no executive orders, no mask mandates. We hear that. No checkpoints, no business option. Sorry, all businesses open, all public events running, and all churches open. And the infection rate is 11 times lower in that state, right? Literally, it's a small population state, but there's towns and villages and cities in it like any state. But that's the proof, and the same applies in Sweden and pretty much in Holland as well. But this is total tyranny, and the Brits have fallen for this carry-on, and let these clowns be manipulated, and all these people put in these positions who are totally, totally compromised. But, oh, dear. And Boris Johnson, he understands Brexit, but he has not a bull's notion about this this coronavirus, etc. Just 1 second ago, a small pause. My own throat giving up today. But I could read more and more oodles of stuff on this carry on. But what we're faced with, we have a schmuck representing GlaxoSmithKline who's running us into the wall. Big Pharma again. What? And this idolizing of the NHS, and this, which they shut down. The UK now has a backlog of operations, 5 million. Surgical operations, which they will never catch up on. Absolutely never. Some of these people, at enormous cost, are going to have to be shipped to Germany and other countries for their minor operations. The system's serious. But the death rate, even with the home death rate for more people dying, with the economy shut down, the road death rate and all the other things that happen in life, and again, UK column have put up the graphs of them. And the CDC even have been forced to put out the correct data that it was 94% exaggerated. And the UK column have a figure now that certainly it's 25,000, possibly 30,000 elderly people died prematurely in old folks' homes because they were forced to take people from hospitals. And they have the evidence and the letters and the threats, intimidation and blackmail letters from the NHS to these care homes. I've seen a copy of one in Britain, and that's a bit of that. And elderly people are vulnerable. But otherwise, it's way below 1,100 people have died. The BBC are saying it's 41,000. That is rubbish. 41,000 have died of other things who had a trace of the infection, which doesn't matter. How this whole world we've lived in for the last 10 years has been trying to, this political correctness, redefining words and meanings, has got us to this stage. Okay, we go to the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay. We're back in with the Barden Report at the bottom of the first hour. And there's an article here. It's already on the RBN website. Mandatory mask wearing is silent terrorism meant for the psychological submission. Yes. And I notice people, the lower the IQ of people, the more determined they are to wear masks. They think they're doing the right thing. But mandatory mask wearing is silent terrorism meant for psychological submission. And the guy writing this article, Gary D. Barnett, is saying, if you are too weak to give yourselves your own law, then a tyrant shall lay his yoke upon you and say, obey. clench your teeth and obey, and all good and evil shall be drowned in obedience to him. Yeah. Since when is it depriving the body and mind of oxygen and breathing in expelled carbon dioxide, CO2, good for your health of humans? Since when is wearing a partial face covering that is multiple times more porous than can protect against the virus penetration helpful? Since when is hiding all expression from other not psychologically damaging? Since when, very badly written this, well, when is it legitimate, not hypothetical, for the state to outlaw Muslim women from wearing head and face coverings that are part of their culture, and in the same breath force all Americans to cover their faces with a mask? Since when any politician have the right to dictate to the entire population that they have to wear masks or any other type of clothing? Since when is the day and the age did absolute slavery of all become a mandatory be a mainstay of American society? Forced mask wearing due to a political control over people is a major aspect of the tyrannical response to the fraudulent virus pandemic. Social distancing, forced testing, quarantines, mandates, business closures, temperature checks, mass surveillance, and others, and any number of other atrocious invasions of privacy are all demeaning and oppressive. But the state and the local orders supported by the national political and health organizations to wear masks is especially intrusive of the real agenda sought. The agenda is clear as day and is being implemented not only as a test of mass social societal compliance, but also to force people apart and to remove closeness, expression, and emotion from the human psyche. Absolutely, 100%. This is a purposeful state exercise with the intent of destroying the spirit of the American people, and well, every country where it occurs, leaving the only society Only a society of unfeeling and obedient drones awaiting the next order handed down from on high. As bad as the ruling and political class totalitarianism response to all to this so-called emergency has been, it pales in comparison to the pathetic reaction by the people of this country, the same in Britain. For a population that has long claimed superior status over all others on earth, thinking that they were exceptional, most all bow down to the false state authority as if they were slaves bowing to a master. This is akin to a religious reaction that could only be possible if the people now believe that the state is God. Why else would many voluntarily allow themselves and their families to be destroyed by complying with orders to not to work to sustain their livelihoods? Why would so many be humiliated in every turn because they were too frightened to question such draconian measures being implemented without even a trace or truth of evidence? How could the very people that have had their lives purposely destroyed by the state, the sanction and support, ignore all the lies that they have been exposed to over and over again about this pandemic hoax? How could any thinking human not be able to see the absurd nature of this scam, so-called COVID-19? How does any population in mass get to this sorry state of ignorance? The state gaining compliance of mandatory mask wearing is the ultimate test of herd acquiescence to rule, and will be used to gauge by the claimed elite ruling authority to see just how far the state can go in its effort to subdue the American public. It will also act as a guide for the future atrocities planned by the monsters at the top of the control pyramid. This will include the timing of released of the coming poisonous and deadly COVID vaccine, when most everyone is more frightened of this fake virus than losing all freedoms. The vaccine will magically appear. This will happen in the next few months, unless it is made available right before the farcical presidential election, to enhance the chances of the incumbent Trump, regardless of whether when it is released. It will be based on a political decision, not any impossible efficacy of tainted concoction designed to harm or order the advance of a particular agenda. He's very right about these points, but by God, this guy talks convoluted English. The entire fiasco and long-planned manufacturing panic pandemic has been staged in order to initiate and perpetuate a global reset that will include cataclysmic changes to all humanity. This requires an economic destruction worldwide, total population conformity, and a new and restructured monetary system, mass tracking and tracing to gain total surveillance state worldwide, and a controlled technocratic infrastructure build up, beginning in all our cities, with the expansion outward over time. The U.S. is the head of the snake, and when the U.S. power elites gain total control of this population, the rest of the world will fall in line. This is why the Americans are the best chance the world has this time to avoid this oligarchy global dictatorial overthrow. But certainly this is one of the last resistant and weakest populations on Earth. This dynamic will have to change before any successful dissent can take shape. The first order of business should be the elimination of all mandated mask wearing. This should be easily accomplished if large numbers of people simply quit wearing masks. In any free society, wearing or not wearing a mask for folks' protection would be up to each and every individual. If any real private business chose to require it or not, that would be their choice. But not one would be required by government or at any level to wear or not to wear a face covering. Oh, right. In other words, no one should comply with any government order issued by any threat or force. Since government does unfortunately exist, it could legitimately suggest ideas for the public, but without any assigned requirement whatsoever. The other thing is, there's been not one syllable by any government in the Western world of what to take as preventative medicine. Not a syllable. Does that not ring alarm bells in people's psyche? And then the campaign to attack hydroxychloroquine and zinc, and then the Lancet to pull an article that they took part in this scam. all the medical journals are an absolute disgrace, absolute disgrace in every way, shape, and form in this regard. But anyway, what is these other ones I was going to play today? Where are we? 41 minutes. Laura Ingraham, that one there, we go back to the politics of hatred. Can Laura Ingraham on Biden's hatred of America? That one there, that'll bring us up to the break, I think. Okay. You got? There's only one Laura Ingraham on today. Okay. Okay, right, we'll go to this one now in a few minutes. Okay.
Now, FDR, during the depths of the Great Depression, in his first inaugural address, told the country that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Those immortal words were meant to instill confidence, not panic, to convey strength, not weakness. Winston Churchill, during the worst of the Blitz on London, went on radio night after night to boost the spirits of his people as the Nazis brutally tried to bomb Britain into submission. Now, both men understood.
Hello? Yeah.
That projecting fear or worry onto a beleaguered people is dangerous. In fact, when a free people begin to doubt their own survival, well, that's when they need optimistic, unshakable leaders the most. Falling into self-doubt or dwelling on the worst aspects of our past or our present only breeds self-loathing, defeatism, and despair, and ultimately disaster. And this is precisely the mindset today's Democrats have adopted. Joe Biden and his media apparatchiks have become masters of anti-American propaganda. They believe that we live in a wicked, racist country, a country that deserves suffering, punishment, and pain.
And what it did, though, it also exposed what had not been paid enough attention to, the underlying racism that is institutionalized in the United States still exists, has existed for 400 years. And so what's happened is that we end up in a circumstance like you had here in Kenosha.
Now, justifying the riots while condemning the violence, oh, yeah, that's really nice. The obvious question for Biden that these pseudo-journalists will not ask is this. Sir, how could a systematically racist country elect an African-American president not once, but twice? Has Biden forgotten his own resume? And here's another question. What was Joe Biden doing for the last 47 years? How many times has Biden talked about what a great country we have and what a great people we are? Was that all a lie, or is he lying now? Is he smearing this country in 250 years of American history in a cynical attempt to win minority votes? Well, one thing's for sure. His protectors in the media won't try to find out. Whatever's Biden's motivation here, whatever it might be, his words are doing great harm. His most ardent supporters now openly question whether America, with all its white privilege, will or even should survive. A just-published New Yorker piece titled The American Myth argues that the United States feels like it's unraveling. The foundation of our nation has deepening cracks, possibly too many to repair anytime soon, or perhaps at all. The attempt to reckon with our unjust past has produced more questions and new divisions about our future. Well, the fact is, the hard left, and that's the hard left, gave up on America decades ago. They never forgave Americans for electing Reagan. And disgusted with this country, they decided to poison its future. They took over the universities and began the slow but steady process of indoctrinating our kids to despise the United States, turning their minds against our history, our Constitution, and our traditions. Now, this sort of thing was going on when I was in college. But it's gotten much worse since then. Over the last 35, 40 years, generations of young people have been spoon-fed all manner of anti-American poison. And these efforts, oh, they've paid off for the left. All over the blue states, we see ungrateful brats roaming the streets in their Antifa costumes, straight out of Central Casting, burning government buildings, and even terrorizing innocent Americans. It's a stunning combination of ignorance and rage. The Democrat Party that Biden joined in the early 1970s, back then it still had some sense. It still believed in the rule of law. It believed that illegal immigration was a problem. Heck, almost 40 years later, Barack Obama went to great pains, remember, to distance himself from the hateful anti-American rhetoric of his mentor, Jeremiah U.S. of KKK Wright. But now it's all changed. Donald Trump came along, and Democrats collectively lost their minds. And Trump, they'd met their match. They met somebody who was unrepentantly pro-America.
But you have to understand, I'm a cheerleader for this country.
Never forget, they're coming after me because I'm fighting for you. There's a lot of truth in that one.
Now, Democrats could not risk him winning again. So they threw in with the Hate America crowd, hoping to ride the wave of civil unrest after George Floyd to victory in November. Well, that was wicked and it was selfish. It was also a huge political mistake. Now, 2 months into the chaos, Biden scrambled to come out and try to condemn the violence, but the damage was already done. He's now tied his political fortunes to those who've given up on America. He stopped trying to put forward any serious proposals that we know would make life really better for most Americans. Because why would you want to make things better for a bunch of racists? He certainly has no intention of maintaining American power, because why would you want a racist country to have any power? All he's left with, in fact, are the scraps of manufactured scandals that the media will toss out from now until the election. Well, yesterday, we debunked the Atlantic magazine smear that President Trump somehow criticized our troops. And today, as if right on cue, the press moved right along, fulminating about Bob Woodward's new book. Today's big claim was that Trump allegedly downplayed the coronavirus in public while privately telling Woodward that it was much more deadly than the flu. Well, Biden's faux anger quickly followed.
He lied to the American people. He knowingly and willingly lied about the threat it posed to the country for months. He knew how dangerous it was. And while this deadly disease ripped through our nation, he failed to do his job on purpose.
Again, this is nonsense. The president addressed this head on today.
It's just another political hit job. But whether it was Woodward or anybody else, you cannot show a sense of panic or you're going to have bigger problems than you ever had before.
And by the way, he said as much at the end of March. We'll get that into that in a minute. Dr. Fauci, normally treated as gospel by the Trump-hating media, he directly refuted the media's anti-Trump narrative.
I didn't really see any discrepancies between what he told us and what we told him and what he ultimately came out publicly and said.
So did you get a sense that he was or wasn't playing this down?
No, I didn't. I didn't get any sense that he was distorting anything.
Whoops, suddenly Fauci's not quoted anywhere. Now, as for Joe Biden, he was the one who was downplaying the virus. He criticized Trump's China travel ban and was out campaigning at events into March. The reality is that Biden, his team, and his supporters, all of them in the press, they've given up on the country that you love. Instead of respecting the actual data in defending our constitutionally guaranteed freedoms, Team Biden, they want to lock America down for months. Of course, there's an exception. If you want to riot against Trump, you're okay. Don't think about going to church, though, or having any fun. Talk about defeatist, let alone stupid and destructive. Now, by contrast, President Trump is an informed optimist. He wants us to wash our hands, be smart. If you want to wear a mask, and carry on. Of course, Bob Woodward would never put any of that in a book. We've been telling you since the beginning of the year that the Democrats have no positive platform to offer. They don't believe that things are ever going to get really better in the United States. They never liked this country much to begin with, and now they've given up on it totally. So the only way they convince Americans to vote for Biden is to accept less. Expect a full-bore effort over the next 2 months to demoralize you, demoralize Trump voters. They want you to accept defeat before a single vote is counted. And they're using big tech billionaires to preset the narrative.
There's nothing illegitimate about this election taking additional days or even weeks to make sure that all the votes are counted. In fact, that might be important to make sure that this is a legitimate and fair election.
Okay, that's just creepy. We somehow managed to vote in person during every other major American crisis. So why not now, Mark? Because Trump's president, that's why. The left is engaged in an all-out effort to depress and suppress the pro-Trump vote, while meanwhile, you know, swamping us with mail-in votes. So far, these efforts have not worked. We're still fighting for our country and the America First populist coalition supporting Donald Trump. We're optimistic. And most Americans are just hardworking people. They want to live in safety and security. They haven't thrown in the towel on our guarantee of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they're not about to give up the greatest country in history because of a virus or rampaging radicals. And that's the angle.
Okay. And we're probably coming up to a break now, but we'll come to air that after this break. But yeah, it's a political football on 100 levels, COVID, yeah. Nobody will speak to the facts or the truth in public life. They're either running scared or they're putting out lies and propaganda, and the government jumping from one foot to the other in so, so many ways. Okay, we go to this break and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, and we come straight back in. And sorry, Ed in Utah, you've been waiting a while. Hello, Ed. Aye, aye.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Mr. Barton?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, very good. And a very insightful broadcast with you, as usual. Couple things. I agree with what you're saying about America and Britain and people not standing up near enough. I'm very impressed, though, by some of the crowds that you're drawing over there with Ike, David Ike, and Piers Corbyn.
Trafalgar Square, yeah.
Right. Yep. And I know part of that is due to the fact that the lockdown is more egregious over there, therefore causing that reaction. Not to make an excuse for the lack of action in America with all the mask monkeys running around, but... I do have to say that there, you know, in some ways people are waiting for those up with a little bit of power, if you will, some standing to do something. And that's happening in Ohio, just to let you know, sir. Are you familiar with the court case of...
I've been following that, yeah. I've to report here. Another federal judge has come down here with one of those, yeah.
Yeah, well, this one is a court filing. The one you might be talking about was the Pennsylvania ruling by Judge Stickman, a Trump appointee of all things. But this one in Ohio is now a filing. And John Rappaport, of course, at nomorefakenews.com, he's following this intensely. In fact, I think in the Patriot Movement throughout America, all eyes should be on Ohio. Of course, he'll try to throw this out so it doesn't see the light of day, but he's asking for a jury trial. And he also has, like I said...
okay, well, that'll drag on for a while. There's a third one. It's Raleigh, North Carolina. Another federal judge rules that coronavirus shutdowns are unconstitutional. So we've three in a row now. So that's some good news. Yeah?
Yes, it is some good news. But what I'm dismayed about is what you're dismayed about, Mr. Barton. And it's like a lot of the American people are sitting back waiting for some of these attorneys or people like you to voice and do the dirty work for them. That ain't going to happen. You said, these tyrant governors in our new form of government where they go behind the scenes, claim they've talked to medical scientists, then they emerge in front of the cameras and tell us how it's going to be. That's not the traditional American form of government. It's illegal. I know a similar thing is going on in the U.K., but the fact is,
the phrase they're using here, we're following the science. Well, the scientists are big pharma hacks. I've just read out the evidence on this, Chris Vallance and Witte. They've all taken money. They worked actually for GlaxoSmithKline. I mean, how outrageous is that? And the SAGE committee, which is the backup committee, every one of them is involved with a big pharma company. So we're surrounded, folks. We are surrounded.
We are. And one last thing quickly, Mr. Barton, I appreciate the time you've given me. I want to give tribute to Traficant, the great American congressman, Ohio, that was assassinated 6 years ago this week. That great man, I often wonder what he would have said as a Democrat, which he was, a good old old-line Democrat, what he would have said
greats,
about COVID.
Thank you very much, sir. John Stadtmuller has profiled him many times. Okay, thank you for that, and we'll talk to you soon, okay? And we'll go to this break on the top of the hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.